This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I don't want the children to pay big bills.
Right.
I don't want them to be debted for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And if my quality of life is no good, pull the plug, damn it. Pull the plug.
Now, it's 5:45 p.m., and of course, you know, we are going to see in this next story how actually we're seeing more deaths in the near future.
Correct. So for decades, lifespans have grown even longer, kind of delaying this inevitable fact of death. But in the coming years, apparently, we're going to see a sharp rise in the number of people dying, and this apparently is going to present a challenge for those who care about end-of-life scenarios, right?
Yeah. Of course, you know, as you mentioned, we've seen that life expectancy increase dramatically by about 30 years, right, to about 79 years of age for men, 83 for women, at least, taking a look in the UK. But, when we think about infectious diseases, or we think about diseases that are, addressing some of those numbers, dementia has become a huge common cause of death.
Especially in England and Wales, apparently, right? Now we are living longer, and this is the scary thing. We are dying slower.
Mm.
And that is a really depressing fact. And I don't know if many countries and many healthcare systems are actually prepared for the challenges that come with dying slower.
Yeah, well, since talking about death will eventually become a norm, we decided we need some tips on how we can make that conversation easier. So we called clinical psychologist Yvonne Fu. She's also a lecturer at HELP University with a special interest in existential psychology. Yvonne, thanks for taking our call. Now, first of all, why do you think we're generally uncomfortable when we talk about death here in Malaysia?
Well, I think in the first place, it's always not very easy to talk about death across culture, not just in Malaysia. Probably one of the reasons that over here we are uncomfortable talking about it is also because in Malaysia or the Asian context, partly because of religion and superstitions as well. Like, you might know how we always like to avoid maybe number four, or we say touch wood when you talk about something that's bad. So it's a general sense that if we talk about something that's bad, that something bad will happen. So kind of take that see no evil, hear no evil, and touch no harm, and speak no evil kind of stance. It's kind of like we try to deny it as well sometimes, feeling like talking about death might kind of summon it, or it might happen just as we talk about it. You know? But the other thing could be also the emotional intensity of talking about it. Because as a culture, we are probably more reserved and less expressive emotionally. And so if we were to talk about it with, you know, our loved ones or even with any friends, we might not feel very comfortable, or we might not know how to react to it. If you feel, you know, sad, or if you're feeling too emotionally overwhelmed. So perhaps that could be another reason that we don't usually talk a lot about it over here too.
So why is it important for us to then have these conversations?
It's important to talk about it because it allows us to consider how we can consider different options for end-of-life care. How do we go about advanced caring, especially in the case of palliative care? How we prefer to live our final days, you know, what kind of funerals or arrangement we want to have after death. And these kind of things are usually not discussed, and it might leave the family members and loved ones to feel a little uncertain, like, you know, what do I know what to do, what is best for my, for the deceased, and that's on top of the grief that they have to deal with. So having these talks might kind of help to set things in place as well. And also, hopefully, you know, talking about it can prepare everyone that's involved of what may be upcoming as well, you know, to have, you know, one last words, or to, you know, the thing about benefits that we talk about is we look at it like maybe from a more practical point of view, but psychologically, to talk about it, to have maybe a sense of closure, that is probably one of the most important things as well.
Right, Yvonne, and that's true, but as important as it is, it's still a hard topic to talk about because it can be so deeply personal. And do you have some tips on that front? How can we get people to be more comfortable when talking about something like death?
Really, there's no one way to talk about death, actually, because it's something, like you say, very, very personal, and everyone's anxiety about death is different. For one, it might be, you know, a question about what happens after life. For another, it could be about what do I do if I leave behind my loved ones, or another maybe about the process of dying. So it is a really, really personal question. And perhaps so first to talk about it is to first maybe understand why it is difficult for that person to talk about death. Could it be maybe the fear of saying the wrong things and making matters worse? Like, you know, if I talk about death, what it makes my loved ones even more sad about it. Maybe the fear of what other people might say if I talk too much about death, or that I'm in denial, I can't just face the truth yet about what's happening. So when we understand why people are not comfortable about this topic, then maybe we can address those areas. But I think most importantly to talk about death is also to be willing to sit with the discomfort of talking about it, that we might not necessarily know how to respond, or we might not necessarily be able to assure or comfort them. In fact, it might not be a good idea to pacify them and tell them, oh no, it's okay, don't talk about it, it's going to be fine, because it's not. They're dying, or the loved one is dying. But I think the least that we could do is at least to listen to the fears and anxieties that the questions that they have about death. I think at least those questions deserve to be heard and to talk about. Probably that's the, you know, the least that we could do.
Well, Yvonne, thank you very much for those tips. That was Yvonne Fu, clinical psychologist and lecturer at HELP University. You know, I would love to hear from folks as to what their thoughts are on trying to address this very, very sensitive topic. I've gotten a little bit better.
Oh, really?
Talking about it, simply because I think by my late teens, early 20s, I had some key figures in my family pass away. And, you know, once that process begins, I felt it was a lot easier to get on that track of sort of talking about it. And then I actually ended up being a better family member to some of these relatives, right? And
right.
And it made my time with them a little bit more precious and all that kind of stuff. So it became a lot easier after it initially began. I didn't want to sort of suppress that any more than necessary, I thought.
My family probably has a little too healthy a relationship with conversations around death.
Right.
If only because there's so many
doctors thing?
In the family, so they face death
every day.
And because of that, the conversation, literally we'd be sitting around the dinner table with my family and someone would just be like, oh, you know, actually, you know, when I die, like, you know, mom or dad will suddenly bring it up and be like, real serious, you need to make sure you do this.
And very, blah, blah, casual, blah, blah. Very casual, nonchalant. Yeah.
Nonchalant. There's no, oh, choy, don't speak about death. No,
right.
We're almost too open about it, actually.
Well, tell us what you think about it, 03771.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.